This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
This is the podcast making public transit checking, kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun, Tim the Nerd, coming at you with another episode of Friends Talking Nerdy, part of the Deluxe Edition Network. Head to deluxeeditionnetwork.com to find out about all of the lovely shows on the den. Seated next to me in the flatulent chair, looking quite ravishing tonight after a night of teaching, we have the most electrifying professor in podcasting today, Professor Aubrey. How you doing?
Oh, the intro just keeps getting longer and longer. I guess that's what happens with intros like that.
I guess. A couple years from now, folks, the show will just be an intro, and then we'll be done.
To me, it'll be like half of it is your intro, and then half of it is you introing me.
I'm sure Shakespeare did that. It'd be like the chorus coming out, you know, talking about like Macbeth or whatever, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. Mm.
Literary reference. Yeah. Hey, yeah.
Think of Shakespeare. I like to read some Shakespeare again. It's good. Mm.
All right. So how has your week been?
My week has been really fun, action-packed. I went on a trip.
To Nicaragua.
No. Not to Nicaragua, to Ventura, California.
Okay.
Which is near LA on the beach. And the weather was great for 2 days. And then it started raining. And it didn't stop raining until I left. So it rained for 2 days solid in a place that usually gets 4 inches of rain a year. I think it probably rained an inch in those 2 days. And so the airport I was supposed to fly out of was the Santa Barbara airport, but it got flooded, so we had to go to LAX instead. So it was in one of those trips that is fun, but has lots of, like, natural challenges.
It wasn't like my train trip to Maine, or Boston, I should say.
No, it wasn't anything like that. It was quite enjoyable.
Okay.
Yes. It was very good.
Yeah. Well, and like I said before, too, about the train trip, like, was it a pleasant experience? No, but it was an experience that I'm glad I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, just being able, there were plenty of sites that I passed by on the train that I wouldn't have been able to, you know, like, how many opportunities am I really going to have to, like, drive through Montana, for instance?
It's gorgeous out there, too.
Yeah, for all 12 people that live there. More cattle than people. Anyway, back to...
Totally more cattle than people. Back to me. So yeah, it was a good trip. It was citrus season, so got some good citrus.
That was the funny part of when I lived in... I lived in Northern California in Sacramento for a decade. And at one point I was... doing some volunteer work and didn't realize at the time... the volunteer work showed me this, but... People would have orange trees in their front yard. They would have lemon trees, you know, in their front yard or backyard. And a lot of times what people of those houses will do is they will call, like, you know, like Urban Farmers, or, you know, which is a place I volunteered at. They would, you know, obviously contact like homeless shelters and be like, come over here, grab as many of these as you want, take them, they're yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the person you introduced me to, who I pet sit for occasionally with, the chickens and whatnot. I mean, she's always say, take as many eggs as you can, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, that was my interjection there. That's my Chewbacca defense, you know.
Chewbacca defense?
Yeah.
Now, what is the Chewbacca defense?
I don't know. It was South Park reference, you know.
I know, but was it just that
The Johnny Cochran, you know, talked about, you know, Chewbacca lived on Endor with the Ewoks, and no, he lived on Kashyyyk with all the Wookiees. What's up with that? You know, that just doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense, you must quit.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, a classic, but
yes.
So glad you had a wonderful time. And having lived in California myself, the rain to them is like snow to us here in Portland.
Yeah.
They are not prepared for that level of rain because, you know, especially in the southern part of California, a lot of that is mostly desert that they turned into, you know,
they took the Colorado River and dumped on.
Mm-hmm.
Especially around Sacramento.
Anyway, but again, glad you had a wonderful time. Now, coming back, of course, this past week we've had some interesting news. Beyonce has a country music album out.
Ooh.
And the new single, in which, mind-blowing in a lot of ways, you did not, even though Beyonce's from Texas, you didn't, you wouldn't have necessarily guessed, you know, if you were someone as knowledgeable on her music as I am, let's put it that way, which is not very, you wouldn't have necessarily guessed that she would be into country music, but cool, you know?
Yeah.
She released a new single, Texas Hold'em. Which is the first single by a black woman to ever top the country charts. And wouldn't you know it, a white man's upset.
Wouldn't you know it? I gotta say that I saw the video, and it is amazing.
Very interesting video. Like, the song itself is something you would expect to hear from, you know, any sort of modern country artist. You know, it's something that you could easily picture coming out of Nashville today by anybody. Now, the video is a Beyonce video, folks. So she's, you know, dancing, doing all her stuff and looking beautiful and all that, you know, which is great. But it's a catchy tune. I'll even put it out there myself. You know, is it something I'm going to listen to again and again? No, but I didn't not enjoy it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I listen to modern country anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I listen to it once, that's one more time than I typically would.
Yeah. I mean, because I think the big critique I would have of country music, which has been prevalent all throughout my limited knowledge of country music over the years, is that there's a lot of great artists in country, but the country music industry kind of works like a factory in a lot of ways, in terms of, you know, we're going to churn out songs that sound the same with artists that look the same. If you look at, you know, especially during like the 80s and 90s, most modern country albums covers look the same.
Oh yeah.
You know, people wearing the same type of outfits, people, you know, wearing the same type of cowboy hats or whatever. I mean,
everybody wanted to look like Garth Brooks.
Well, yeah, and that was more 90s, and the guys in the 90s were still, you know, doing very similar album covers. Shania Twain was probably the first one that started going a little bit beyond what was traditional in terms of a country music album cover, but, you know, I think that was also the time where she was going a little more pop, too, so mm-hmm. You never know, but anyway, the white guy in question is Mr. John Schneider. Bo Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Bo Duke, who thought he was a sexy sex symbol.
Well, back in the day in the 80s, when he was a young strapping lad on the, you know, the new television show, The Dukes of Hazzard, I'm sure there were a lot of ladies that were swooning over him. But he came out, he was interviewed on One American News, totally legit news network, folks, about Beyonce putting out this country album. And what he said was that let me get the quote here. The lefties in the entertainment industry just won't leave any area alone, right? They just have to seize control over every aspect, don't they? They've got to make their mark, just like a dog in a dog walk park. You know, every dog has to mark every tree, right? So that's what's going on here. And that ruffled a lot of people's feathers.
Uh-huh. Well, mm-hmm.
You know,
the dog.
When you have a white man using a metaphor, analogy, whatever that is. It's a metaphor, right?
It's a simile.
Simile. All right. With the simile that he used, a lot of people read racist thoughts into it.
Mm-hmm.
And while I can, like, I don't know him personally, so I'm not going to tell anybody how dare you be upset at John Schneider, you know, because if you put your foot in your mouth, you put your foot in your mouth. Do I think he was trying to be racist? I don't necessarily think so, but that doesn't forgive what he said either, because it still wasn't good, because he's showing his ignorance here. Now, let's point something out here. Like, why would they interview someone who's an actor? A lot of people don't remember he's also a country musician.
That's right.
And his primary popularity in country music corresponded with the Dukes of Hazzard. When the Dukes of Hazzard was popular, he actually had a number one country album. When Dukes of Hazzard went off the air after a couple of years, stopped doing records for a long time. So him, you know, it would be disrespectful to say that, you know, he's no musician. I mean, he's a musician. He's paid for it. Whether he's good or not is up to the person willing to buy it, right? But what he is
showing... In our capitalist society, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but what he is showing is his absolute ignorance of country music history. Now, again, I'm not proclaiming to be the most learned scholar on country music here, folks. My knowledge is limited. And I'm also not going to play naive and try and pretend that, you know, a large part of the country music audience is on the conservative side. But that doesn't mean there aren't prominent, you know, quote unquote leftists that have been involved with country music from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's doing is spitting on everybody, and he's being a gatekeeper, folks. You know, he's one of those people that thinks that this music should be done in a particular way, and if you go outside of those boundaries, you are not doing it, so you cannot do it. Fuck him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, nobody needs his permission to exist, and certainly not Beyonce, because Beyonce's awesome, and John Schneider is not.
He really put his foot...
So here's my thing. Yes, he put his foot in it, yes. But how was it that he was able to put his foot in it without realizing that it was racist?
Yeah.
Like, even if he didn't have any intent...
Unconsciously.
Yeah. He hasn't addressed his racism... And so he doesn't identify his behavior that is racist. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he probably believes he's not racist because he never intends to be racist. But he just assumes, because I never intend to be racist, I don't ever do anything racist, which isn't the same thing.
Yeah. And like, his argument would be pointing out that, you know, he doesn't want the quote unquote woke crowd to do it. But what is one of the things that, you know, people of his ilk get upset about and call people woke for? Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And first of all, what he did was fucking stupid. Why he thinks his opinion is worth spouting, I don't know. But I hope he does, in the spirit, I hope he takes the backlash he's received to heart. I'm going to think positive here. I hope he takes it to heart and understands just how stupid his comments were. Because, like, country music, what I'm discovering is a beautiful thing. And country music, to me, has always been about... that personal experience. It's about, you know, he stopped loving her today type of deal. I mean, and yeah, I'm naming a song here, folks, but the emotions that you get from that song, everybody can relate. You know, like also Willie Nelson songs, noted leftist, folks, Mr. Woke, Willie Nelson has written songs like Crazy, On the Road Again, you know, Hello Walls, that just speak to the human condition, whether you're conservative or progressive or not. And also think about this too. Think about the rich history. It's not large, but there is a history of R&B artists that have made country albums. Ray Charles, Tina Turner.
Well, but the country comes from black music.
Exactly. I mean, the banjo is an African instrument.
Yes.
You know, so why can't black people make country?
The same reason that black people have been told they can't do everything else. That they have been told they can't do, which is pretty much everything.
Yeah, like I didn't realize just how prevalent, before 1950 public pools were. But once segregation hit, that's when the public pools started, for the most part, being closed, unless you happen to live in a town, like Portland or something like that. Because
When integration hit.
integration hit, the public pools ended up closing, and people started buying pools for their own backyard so they can, swim themselves or swim with their preferred friends, quote unquote. This is ignorant, folks, because at the end of the day, I want to see the best of country music being celebrated. And what better way to introduce people that may not be familiar with it than Beyoncé, folks?
I mean, I think is you know, Dolly is going to bring country listeners to rock and roll, and Beyoncé is going to bring everybody to country.
Or at the very least, the pop or the R&B audience too. But like I said, like, country has a rich tradition of embracing everybody. It does. Does it have its flaws? Of course. Are there things that you can critique? Of course. I'm not naive, but just I hope at the end of the day that John Schneider is man enough, really, to take the backlash he is receiving. And I'm not saying he has to become a Democrat, but just understand just how stupid and harmful and hurtful and, yeah, you know what? Racist it was. You don't have to consciously say or do something racist for it to be racist, because of the oppression that, because of the white power, white privilege being what it is. Like, there are a lot of people that, would claim, I have a black friend, I'm not racist, but they would say, they say and do things that show, in fact, that they are. Because, like, as you mentioned, there are a lot more people that think they are good when they're really not.
That doesn't make them evil. Being not good is not the same as being evil.
I mean, evil would be like your openly card-carrying KKK members, stuff like that. But to me, and I think Martin Luther King kind of touched upon it when he talked about the quote unquote moderate, when you have people like the people that, I don't see skin color, I see people type of deal. But then, if they have a business, they're not hiring black people or anything like that. Because Martin Luther King, when he talked about the moderate, the moderate was the person that was, talking a good game about supporting civil rights, but when push come to shove, they would tell black people, now's not your time. Pat them on the head and move on. And, this is another instance, of the news amplifying a story that should have just been, left on the garbage heap that is One American News. I mean, that is a purely propaganda channel anyway. But I hope, one, that John Schneider learns a valuable lesson here, and two, when it comes to Beyoncé and what she did, I hope this does open the door for a lot more people that would not have considered country music to say, I like this. What else is there good out there?
I think that will too.
So we got through this. High five.
High five. On to the main event.
All right. Well, first though,
Oh, right.
yeah, we don't want to rush things here because we have some of our friends, folks, at the Deluxe Edition Network that want to tell you about their show.
I know, I'm so excited to hear who we've got on the show this week.
All right. So sit back, relax, and listen to this.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Dylan.
And I'm Cameron.
And we're the hosts of Barstool Film School, a conversational comedy podcast about the very best Marvel movies. You know, the ones that are like perfect to watch when you're hanging out in a bar with friends. Now, I'm a writer and a film school washout.
And I'm a bar owner.
So we ought to know what we're talking about.
You would hope.
Tune in every other week, wherever you get your pods, as we take on a new flick.
And we will pair those flicks with some cocktails.
To see if they pass the bar. Now, what do you say, Cam? Shall we pour ourselves another round?
Let's do it.
All right.
September of 2016, I became single again, and it was awesome.
I think it was 2018 in August for me.
Like, there's a Bill Burr bit where he talks about, like, how on the one hand, some people may look at a person that sleeps on a futon mattress and think, oh, what a poor, pitiful person. But the person on that futon mattress who may have escaped out of, like a bad marriage or something like that would think of it as heaven. That was me. I had a futon, and that was my mattress. I mean, the futon frame itself ended up breaking, so I had to toss that, but just mattress on the floor, and boom, that was me.
Yeah.
And that was my freedom.
Mm-hmm. Freedom.
Yeah, but we are on to our main event this week, folks, and what we wanted to talk about is another article that the professor found here from our good friends at Psychology Today, called The 14 Benefits of Being Single by Bruce Y. Lee, MD, MBA.
Accolades. What a well-educated person.
Yes, he has read a book or two, folks, but being single, I mean, this is a much more deep conversation if you think about it, because it's being single is not just... It's about your whole life, really. It encompasses your whole life. Because if, you know, traditionally, when you're in a relationship, the rules are, quote unquote, that, you know, your whole life becomes that other person as well. And that can sometimes work. That can sometimes not.
Well, my whole critique of the whole thing is that it assumes an awful lot about what it means to be with someone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of the opposite of what you were saying. Which it assumes a lot about the restrictions of relationships that hopefully aren't true for everyone.
I hope not. I mean, like, whether you're a deeply conservative person and you've only had one person that you've dated that you met in high school and you married them without having sex before marriage and you only have sex for procreation, I still hope they're happy, you know? But sometimes you got to... learn to embrace the idea of being single too, because one thing I found after becoming single again was that you know, especially if you've been at a relationship for 14 years, as I was at that point, suddenly being single was like, what the hell do I do now? You know, I mean, you spend a lot of time with yourself, and it's just like sometimes the urge is to get out there and immediately get another relationship. And that's not cool, too. I think a lot of the happiness that you can find in a relationship comes from being happy with yourself, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so what we wanted to do here is go through these 14 benefits of being single. As we always do, we're going to read the bullet points and then start some conversation.
Yeah.
All right, would you like me to begin?
Certainly.
All right. Number one, you alone can decide what to do with your time. If you want to spend the next 4 hours binge-watching videos of marmots eating various food items, so be it. Mm-hmm. So true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, having said that, in a healthy relationship, I mean, if, you know, needs are being satisfied, then you can have instances to where you've been watch videos of marmots eating all you want. But, you know,
hey, you know, here's my thing, though, Tim.
Yeah.
Everyone alone can decide what to do with their time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else owns your time, even if you're married to them. Because you get to choose what to do with your time. And if you want to choose not to spend your time with your spouse, that is absolutely your right.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't even think of that, but you are right, because you should, in a healthy relationship, be asking for those times of solitude as well. Because even if, I mean, because look at John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Mm-hmm.
Their first few years of marriage, they, you know, they rarely left each other's side, literally. I mean, they would go to the bathroom together, which is fucking weird. But they got to a point to where Yoko was like, you know what? You need to get the fuck out of the house for a while. So she kicked him out and sent one of her assistants, May Pang, with John to California, to where for a couple of years he had what he called his lost weekend, where he ended up forming the Hollywood Vampires with Alice Cooper, Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, Harry Nilsson, Keith Moon, Ringo. And just ended up partying, you know, getting drunk for a bit. But after a couple of years or so, at an Elton John concert at Madison Square Garden, in fact, I think that might have been Lennon's last time in concert too, unfortunately. But Yoko was backstage, they talked, they reconnected, Sean was conceived, and they got back together.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yes.
But I definitely think those things are possible because you can get real out of balance with yourself within a relationship. And sometimes it takes a break for you to sort of get back into balance.
Exactly.
So that you can appreciate more maybe the person that you've come to resent because you feel like they're in charge of you.
Mm-hmm.
You have allowed them to take control of your life, which is a choice that you've made.
Yes. I mean, when in fact, I mean, in a healthy relationship, it should be just, you know, two or more people understanding that, you know, you have this person that wants to be in your life at this point in time. You know, work towards cultivating that, but understand that they're just a person. They could come in into your life. They could go out of your life. And I would, you know, and it's maudlin to think, I guess, but that is something like the older I've gotten, the more I've come to recognize the fact that you have to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Okay.
Oh, number two,
you can travel anywhere, anytime you'd like, as long as you have the resources and general wherewithal to do so. As that Starship song goes, nothing's going to stop you now.
Ew.
Oh my God. I cannot believe that. Quoting Starship.
One of the worst bands ever, and they were born out of one of the most decent psychedelic bands of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Starship used to be Jefferson Airplane, you know, Volunteers of America, White Rabbit, and just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went from counterculture hippies to, you know, corporate douchebags, and I think Grace Slick would agree with that assessment. She was not a fan of Starship. She's not a fan of Starship now.
Okay.
She liked the money that came from it, and, you know, hey, you got to pay the bills. But, you know, I think artistically, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So I read it. That's it.
But you are correct because with the point that it's here, if you are married and, you know, like I was in a monogamous relationship, yeah, if I suddenly said, oh, hey, I got tickets to Egypt for next weekend for just me, bye, that wouldn't have gone over well.
So I have the same critique that I did before, which is that you get to choose, but if you're in a relationship with someone and you're in love with them, then you're going to choose to do stuff with them. If you're not, you can choose to not do stuff with them. Or if you are and you want to do stuff by yourself. Or if you are and you want to go do it with your best friend. Like, I choose to go with the people I want to be with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think, too, when it comes to, yeah, I mean, if you are in a relationship and, you know, maybe it isn't the best idea to just suddenly, you know, spring, oh, hey, I'm going to be out of town for a couple of months type of deal without at least a heads up or something like that. But yeah, you do have that right. Because, like, let's say you're a baseball fan and you want to take a trip to Cooperstown, New York to look at the baseball museum or baseball hall of fame or whatever, and your partner doesn't like that. Why couldn't you make that trip, you know, with a friend or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't you do that as long as, you know, the communication's there? You know, and if the person gets upset, I think that speaks to something more than just being upset that, you know, they're going out of town. Now, again, there are caveats to that, like, you know, someone wants to go fishing, but they had already promised that they would go to a partner's family event or something like that. You don't go fishing. You honor the promise that you made. But if we're just talking like a random date in the future that has no ties to any sort of a, you know, get together that you have with a partner, if you want to schedule that for traveling somewhere, damn it, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Let's go on to the next one here. Number three. You can pick up and maintain any hobbies of interest. Have you always wanted to take up cheese rolling, chainsaw wood sculpting, zombie portrait painting, or Quidditch? go for it. This one, you know, in theory, to your point, you would just, I'm sure you would probably just say, well, what? Yeah, why couldn't you just have a hobby and do it? You know, I think it brought this.
I'm thinking of you and your wife.
Yeah,
and her wanting to get involved in crafting. And you guys spending money and stuff on the crafting stuff, and then she never did it.
Yeah. She wanted to, I was thinking of a different story, but there is that too. Yeah, she wanted to make quilt squares. And I guess there is a big enough market that, you know, of people that love making quilts that, you know, love having, you know, pre-made squares that they can order. So we spent about $3,000 thanks to, you know, a tax return that came in. I mean, that's one benefit of kids. You get a lot of money back in taxes.
Okay, yeah. But, so you spent it on...
Yeah, we spent a decent amount on getting some supplies so that was something she could do at home. She dealt with fibromyalgia, so she was handicapped. I mean, she didn't have... technically handicapped. Disability. She didn't need a wheelchair or anything like that, but with her, you know, condition, she was at that time, she wasn't going to be able to, you know, do like a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. So I thought at least, you know, hey, I don't mind investing in it. If this is something she can do that can get us some extra money, great. It collected dust.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean,
did you confront her about that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the big part of why the marriage didn't work was that, you know, she thought the idea of us clearing our issues was me saying, I am wrong for everything that has ever gone wrong in this marriage, and you have done nothing wrong ever. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, the other thing I was thinking about, though, another lovely story about my marriage, is the domino that got rolling that ultimately led to this podcast. And that was the comic book blog that I made.
Oh, right.
You know, I wanted to kickstart my writing again because, you know, I've not been the most prolific writer, but there was a long time to where I didn't. Mm-hmm. We're talking a number of years. And so what I decided was, thanks to like the app Marvel Unlimited and a couple of other comic apps, you know, you had a whole plethora of comics to read from. So I thought I would just read a comic book a day and review it. And she said, who would read that? I don't think that's a good idea. In Portland, Oregon, which is the home to the number 3 and 4 biggest comic book company in the world, Image and Dark Horse. Yeah, I shouldn't write about comic books in the West Coast hub of comic book artists and writers. That is a stupid fucking idea, Tim. I shouldn't have that opinion, you know? But I ignored that. And we're talking hobbies here. And having said that, just like I said before, you know, you can't, if you made a commitment to do an event with a partner, don't ditch it for your hobby. That's just part of not being an asshole, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you agree to do something, you have to do it then.
Yeah. But if you like a hobby and your partner doesn't like the hobby, that's fine. Unless your hobby is like smoking crack.
Well, sure. And, you know, for a crackhead, that'd be fine.
I know. Whitney and
Bobby. So it depends on the context always.
There you go. Like, anyway. Speaking of crack, let's go to number 4.
All right. You won't have to make career or life goal sacrifices for someone else. When you are on the same page with a significant other, he or she may help your career. But the opposite is true when you aren't. For example, years ago, when I wanted to pursue writing and my significant other at the time tried to discourage it, it was a good move to eventually write off her and that relationship.
What is he, a tax man? I'm going to deduct you from my life.
When you're on the same page, they may help you with your career, but the opposite is true when you aren't.
This is another situation I can bring up. Like I mentioned, my ex-wife was on disability. And thanks to the healthcare system we have in this country, if I earned above a certain threshold, which is, you know, like over $35,000, I believe,
whoa,
a year, which is not much at all, then her disability, you know, in terms of like she had SSI and was able to get like government help with like Medicare and Medicaid and all that stuff to go there. But if I started making more money than the government thought I should as a married couple with her, then my health insurance would have had to pay for it. And all the medical expenses, you know, like deductibles and stuff like that would have been out of our pocket. So any sort of, you know, benefit of having that extra money would have immediately been wasted in our condition. So for me,
the thing with like people have kids and you end up with two kids and there's no way you can afford to put them both in childcare. Like you have to have a whole second job in order to put your kids in childcare.
If that, I mean, it usually takes a lot more. I mean, luckily for my situation, you know, the ex-wife was able to stay at home and for the most part, take care of the kids. It helped once they got older and can start doing some chores and stuff like that. But I had to make that sacrifice. Like even with kids, I could have gone to college and, you know, got a degree much quicker, but I really couldn't. Because unless it was guaranteed that I was going to have some awesome healthcare package at the end, couldn't take that risk. Just financially, with the amount of money it would have cost for her regular visits to the doctor, it would have made no financial sense to do that. And now here I am.
Yeah. And, you know, we make the choices we make in the circumstances that we are in. Mm-hmm. And those choices have consequences, but it's not like we just have free choice all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you gotta do. Like, I made the right decision. I think I made the right decision, even though it didn't help me now. You know, in that case where I thought we're gonna be married for a long, long time, you know, yeah, I couldn't gamble. I couldn't gamble. It would not have been good to gamble.
Not while your kids were young.
Not while the kids were young and with her health the way it was. Like, yeah, if I were still with her now, which thank God I'm not, and she agrees with that, so I'm not doing the typical ex-wife bad ha-ha type of deal here. Maybe it would have been a different story, but, you know, still, who knows? That still would have been a bit of a gamble with as much as she was, you know, had to go visit the doctor and the type.
So now, was that true before you got married?
Her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you probably would have benefited from learning that when you marry someone, you become responsible for them, for their welfare, for their food, for their housing, for their healthcare. It is now your responsibility.
Yeah.
And that fucked both of you.
Yep.
You should have never gotten married.
No, should weren't.
I mean, for financial reasons, like not only for just reasons of it was a bad relationship, but for financial reasons.
Well, you know, but then again, that's kind of classist if you think about it. You know, I mean, that's stating that, you know, only people that can financially take care of people should be able. It's like you live.
I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to get married. I'm saying I wouldn't. If it was financially better for me and my spouse and my family for us not to be married, then I would not be married.
Well, I mean, I made the choice I made, I guess, and here we are.
I just wonder, like, if you even thought about it that way.
You know, love was part of the equation at the time when I made that decision. To me, again, I didn't want to gamble because if I gambled and I failed, that would have really hurt, you know. And I didn't want the divorce to happen or anything like that. So at the time, you know, near the end, of course, woo. But yeah, it's a choice I made. I don't regret it because I have my kids and, you know, I have a decent Van Dyke now. So there is that. And my cats and you and all that. And this lovely podcast here. Mm-hmm. So things could be much, much, much worse. But, you know, this one hit home because I had to sacrifice. Yeah. And, you know, anyway, shall I go on with the next one?
Yes.
All right, number five, you can hang out with anyone. Yeah, we just hit off. Doesn't quite work when your partner asks where you were all weekend and what you were doing with that person. It reminds me of that Sam Kinison bit where he talked about, you know, Jesus couldn't have been married because what wife would believe the resurrection? like Jesus leaves on a Friday with 12 of his friends, and then on Sunday comes back and is like, honey, I was dead. I was buried, you know, and, you know, went down to hell, and then the angels brought me back, and now I'm alive again. And then his wife would be like, no, you weren't. You were with those losers. We feed them all every day. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's ideally in a perfect relationship, if the communication's there, I think you will agree, it shouldn't matter who you hang out with, as long as, you know, like, if, let's say I knew somebody that, you know, stole $20,000 from you and I still wanted to hang out with them, you would have every right to say, yeah, I'm kind of pissed that you're hanging out with that person who hurt me in this way. You know, we're not talking about you, you know, taking a Friday night to go hang out with a friend or something like that at a bar or something like that. I think that there are legitimate times to where a healthy, in a healthy relationship, a person can say, I don't think you should hang out with that person. But those instances are extremely few and far between. You know, you have to accept that even in a healthy monogamous relationship, your partner is going to like people that you may not. And that is okay. That is okay. It is your job as a partner to still be there for the person that you love. And it's not, you're not their boss. You're not their parent. It's not your job to lecture, all that stuff, because we all live our own lives. If the person in question is really that bad, your partner will find out eventually.
Yeah. Well, as someone who was told I could not be friends with people that I wanted to be friends with, I think that it should be avoided at all costs. People have to learn their own lessons. This is probably why I'll never get married again, is because I don't want to be responsible for anybody else's choices. People can make their own choices, but that familial relationship means you're responsible for other people's choices.
Agreed. And, you know, from the sounds of it, from what you experienced, yeah, that's not healthy. You know, you shouldn't have a person that goes out of the way to say, don't be friends with this person, don't be friends with that person. Like I said, it is okay for someone you are in a romantic relationship with to have friends that you don't like. Just don't be a dick about it.
Yep.
You know? All right. Next one.
Number six. You may have more time to build friendships and social circles. Ever notice how some friends totally disappear when they find a significant other? And so, like, guilty, like, I am just this way. It's very difficult for me. I like individual relationships and small, very small groups. So if I have a significant other and I'm spending a significant amount of time with, that's going to be time I'm not spending with friends or a friend, because I don't, like, it's difficult for me to, it's like difficult for me to have somebody riding in my car. Like, it just throws me off.
Sorry. No, I get it. And I think for what they mentioned in that bullet point, though, I mean, some of that could be attributed to NRE. Like, when you're first with somebody, you want to spend all your time with that person, and they're the most awesomest person in the world, type of deal. And I think that does contribute to some of the disappearing time. But,
yeah,
you know, whether it be a monogamous relationship and then managing time to see your friends as well, or a polyamorous relationship where you're with, you know, multiple potentially romantic partners and your friends, it's about time management. You got to learn how to use a calendar sometime. And, you know, for the sake of your romantic relationships, you want to keep your friendships going. For the sake of your friendships, you want to make sure that you give them the time that they need too. You know, and yeah, it takes work. And that's not to say that you shouldn't enjoy the ride that NRE gives you, but it can make things worse down the road too, because sometimes you can get so into someone real quick, and then the NRE crash, you know, and then you realize, like, ooh, we have nothing in common.
Right, and I guess I needed my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, shall I go on to the next one?
Yes, please.
All right, number seven. You can spare yourself conflict and a whole lot of drama. A partner who is not the right fit can bring a lot of fireworks into your life, just not the good kind of fireworks. I mean, yeah, I get that, and that is true. And the important thing is to be open to those potential red flags when they come in a person. Because, yeah, when you have two people that are riding the NRE wave, you know, sometimes you can overlook a red flag that occurs, but you know, if you do, like if you're a guy and you're dating a woman who, when you go to clubs, starts getting into fights and saying, "My boyfriend will kick your ass." Yeah, maybe you don't need to be with her, or make sure she doesn't drink as many Seagram's wine coolers or something.
Oh my good, Bartles and James.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is understanding when it's time to say this, you know, romantic relationship needs to end. You know, like when you're talking about sparing yourself conflict, you can never avoid conflict. Even with your best of friends, there will be conflict that can and will occur, and you're not going to avoid conflict ever. You're not going to avoid drama ever. It's just about understanding that, yeah, platonic, romantic, or otherwise, you know, sometimes you have to accept the fact that a person's just not good for you and not have them in your life. So it's like, I don't think this point is making the point I think it does.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else could happen?
What's that?
You could end up saving more money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell us how.
Okay, so marriage brings tax benefits, and couples can save on hotel rooms and some Groupons. But having a partner can end up being very expensive if the two of you are not on the same financial page. So, so true. So, so true. But it's about being on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, with my ideal is just completely separate finances. And I think that is the lowest conflict, most empowering, fair way of people collectively joining together financially.
I mean, you want to be responsible. You want to be respectful. You don't want to, if you are with a partner and that partner makes significantly more and you're living together and you're the one making less, but you decide, hey, I'm going to buy this $400 diamond ring. Don't, I think some of this, like the last sentence, you know, having a partner can be very expensive if the two of you are not on the same financial page. I mean, that kind of speaks to what I was, speaking of earlier. That means accepting, you know, opening your heart to the idea that there may be red flags that this person you're totally into now may have.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, if you are with, the example you brought up, I should have learned, you know, when you have someone that, you know, is so frivolous with money, yeah, not a good fit. That's not on the same financial page, you know, and yeah.
Right. Because you are the opposite of frivolous with money. You are extremely frugal. And so for someone to be like, oh, I'm just going to spend your money wantonly, that is very incompatible.
Yeah, especially when you don't make that much to begin with.
Right, but if you are on the same financial page, it can be very beneficial. And
it can, because, you know, go back to the trips thing. Let's say you want to take a trip with, you know, someone you're in a relationship with. If you're both on the same financial page, guess what? You can plan and you can save. And then by the time you get to that trip, yay, everybody wins and everybody's happy. You know, communication, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the things that, you know, we've discussed so far here are the result of communication not happening.
Yes.
All right. Shall I go on with the next one?
Yes, please.
You can wear whatever you want and decorate your place in any manner. That includes wearing a toga around home all day and having your apartment look like the modern day Rome Colosseum, ruins and all. I don't know about all that, but, you know, like, there's one funny bit of The Simpsons that I love, and it was a flashback episode they did to where Homer and Marge walked into, you know, with a realtor, walked into the house that they eventually bought and are raising their kids in, and Homer looks into the living room, you know, and he's thinking, like, oh, I could do so much with this place, and his idea of doing so much is a TV on top of a cardboard box and a lawn chair,
you know? Yeah,
when you are with us, if you do choose to live with a romantic partner and whatnot, you know, in terms of decoration, that it does have to be a joint, you know, concern there, depending on the situation, of course. But, you don't you don't want to be disrespectful. Like if you are into like Robert, if you are into like Robert Mapplethorpe, you know, nude art, and your partner is uber conservative and super Catholic and whatnot, yeah, maybe the, you know, the cross and the jar of piss is not the good idea to hang on the wall, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but would you be with that person? Would two people that were that different ever end up with each other?
I mean, I got married as a complete opposite, you know? So things happen, you know what I mean? And yeah, maybe not the best example, but...
Sure,
you know,
I get it.
Yeah, it's... When you are with somebody, you do. There are compromises that have to be made in terms of, you know, decorations and all that stuff. And yeah, if you are a guy that's like Homer Simpson or me that thinks a swanky setup is a lawn chair and a TV on top of a cardboard box, yeah, maybe move your standards up just a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Little bit.
Just right. A small bit.
All right. Tackle number 10 here.
Okay, number 10. You can get to know yourself and what you want a lot better. The wrong partner can be like having a narrator for the documentary of your life when that narrator hasn't even read your script. It's more like you haven't even read your script.
Yeah, I think for me, the past couple of years, I've learned more and more the importance of enjoying time with me. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily do that. Again, I've said it on the show many times, and I'll continue to say it. I'm a mess of a human being. I'm not trying to say everybody should follow my example because, my God, I don't know how I'm here. But you can have a much more enriching experience in life by getting to know yourself more, by taking time out of your day to do stuff that interests you. And yeah, if what interests you is playing a video game, then damn it, play a video game. I mean, hopefully you'll do something else a little more enriching too. But, you know, getting to know yourself is, and yeah, getting to know yourself is vital. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of people will say, yeah, I agree, but then they also don't necessarily follow up on that. And again, not throwing stones here. I, you know, this is still something I'm working on now and will continue to work on. But you have to be able to be comfortable with yourself, because the more comfortable you are with yourself, the more rewarding it can be with a partner, because then you come to appreciate more the times that you do spend with that, you know, significant other in your life, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I say absolutely a lot.
Yeah. Me and whatnot. Yeah, we all have our vocal quirks. That's the funny part about editing.
Yeah, you notice.
Yeah, it's one of those things too that like you don't notice it when you talk, but when you hear it back, you're like, oh my goodness, no. All right. Number 11. I will go on to the next one here. You can take better care of yourself. When you tend to be the giver in a relationship, you can forget about taking care of yourself mentally, emotionally, and physically when you are with the wrong partner. True, it's blunt, but true. You know, granted, if you are with the right partner, then, you know, you will naturally be taking care of yourself because you'll both be encouraging each other to be the best possible use you can be. But yeah, when you are with the wrong partner, or you have... you unfortunately have the mindset of, I'm going to grit my teeth and stick through this marriage and it will be successful whether I wanted to or not, you know, type of deal, then it's going to lead, you're going to lead down a road to ruin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you are not taking care of yourself, if you are going out of your way to only please the other person and you're disregarding all of your own needs, like a pressure cooker, at some point you're going to blow. You're going to be like, it's going to be something simple and stupid too that will set it off, but it will be something that will make you think, why am I doing this for this person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do all X, Y, and Z, and I'm lucky to get A, B, and C from them occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's got to be some reciprocity.
There does. And now the reciprocity doesn't need to be value for value, folks. It's just, it needs to be there.
Yeah, what you invest should be invested, some of it should be invested back in you.
Indeed. All right. Number 12.
Number 12, you can have more room to grow. Being in the wrong relationship can be like wearing leg warmers, a velour tracksuit, and a sweater vest that are all way too tight. Yes.
What if you have bulges you want to show? No. True. Again, if you're with the wrong partner, you're not.
You do feel trapped.
Yeah. We're in the process of preparing for our trip to Seattle. And in because Kurt Cobain's the anniversary of his passing is coming up here, and you know, we wanted to be there, but I you know, listening to the music, when in terms of being trapped, all apologies when he's in the album version, not the MTV Unplugged, but the album version, when he's like, married, yeah. It's like, I felt that so
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, you need to have room to grow to be the better person. Yeah, if you have somebody that's going out of their... I shouldn't even say it that way, because, yeah, I don't think there are that many truly notoriously evil people. We're talking about two people that are just not compatible. Oil and water, square peg, round hole, just it wasn't going to work. And you have to recognize when that happens, because you don't want to be buried.
No, and you don't want it to last a long time.
Yeah, because when it does finally fracture, ooh, boy.
What? Ooh, boy, what?
It will explode in your face.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It becomes more and more volatile.
Yes, it's not something that, you know, like you can just shake hands and walk away from, you know. Yeah, you lose a lot. All right, shall I go on to the next one?
Yes, let's go on to the next one.
Number 13. You can become stronger, more independent, and more self-reliant. A funny thing happens when you have to make your own decisions. You get better at making your own decisions. True, yes, but, you know, as we've talked about, like in a healthy relationship, you can have that too, but the importance of having a healthy relationship is understanding that, you know, that means that you have to focus on you too. If you know, the your relationship should not just be, I must spend all my time with this person, or my entire devotion should be towards this person. You have to be you, because that other person first fell for you, not you going out of your way to, you know, be the person that, you know, to be something else or whatever. They fell for you. So the more you can work at being the you that is you that the person fell for, the stronger I think it would be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, yeah, maintaining who you are, investing in yourself, whether that's time or money or giving yourself things that you need, like music and moving your body and all of those things, make you a happier person. And happier people make it easier for happier people to be around. And so then you get a happier class of person that you're hanging out with, which then makes you happier, which then makes everybody want to, the super happy, want to be with you too. So it's like a positive feedback loop instead of a negative one.
Yeah. And I think that should be what you look for in any type of relationship you have, platonic, romantic, or otherwise. You want people in your life that will encourage you to continue to be you and work at being a better you as well.
Yeah.
All right. How about you wrap things up?
Let's wrap things up with number 14. You can ultimately become a better partner and have better relationship when the right person finally comes along. Continuously jumping from relationship to relationship may not allow you the time to reflect on what you continue to do wrong and what you need to improve about yourself. You may then keep repeating the same misguided relationship cycles. Well, that's kind of harsh. You can ultimately become a better partner and have a better relationship when the right person finally comes along. So this is, you know, saying continuously jumping from relationship to relationship may not give you the time. No, it absolutely won't. And that's serial monogamy. And serial monogamy does not allow people to grow into their fully formed selves, because you end a relationship, you have to reinvent yourself to find the next partner, you get the next partner, you completely lose yourself in that partner, you break up with that partner, you have to rebuild yourself, find somebody else to date. And like, that's like your life. You never get beyond that point of having found the other person. Like, you don't know what it is like to grow and change with someone who is growing and changing and then still choose to be together.
Well, I think this is one aspect where polyamory kind of gets it right, too, because I found in my dating experience since becoming polyamorous, I think there's a lot less pressure on the dates. It's more of we can just enjoy this for what it is, and this is not like day one of, you know, the rest of your life type of deal. So what they said here is not wrong, but it's also coming from a monogamous viewpoint. I mean, granted, more people than not are, you know, at least on paper, monogamous.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I also think, too, even when it comes to relationship after relationship after relationship, like, there is something to be said about having self-reflection. Because if you keep on having the same type of mistakes happen in relationship after relationship after relationship, you want to not have them, because then you won't have to lose half your money every time you break up with somebody. And that's, you know, that may sound harsh, that may sound bitter, but that is a reality people face. If things do go south, you want to reflect, because it's not about finding blame in yourself. It's not about finding blame in another human being. It's about finding just, what am I doing wrong? What can I change to make it to where I don't have to experience X, Y, and Z again?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Trying to figure out how to be different in the future.
Yeah, because life, I mean, you're not, like we mentioned, you're not ever going to get to a point to where you will be perfect. You're going to be in your 80s, 90s, you're going to fuck up too. You know, it's just understanding, taking the time to not only understand, but work towards having as much of an objective view of yourself as you can as well. You know, when it comes to going from relationship to relationship and being honest with yourself and stating, hey, this is where I fucked up, and this is what I can do to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. As always, folks, the link to this article is going to be in the show description. Psychology Today, I feel, has been a great resource that we've used, not only just for topics, but being able to talk them out is healthy. I like being able to come back to these and talk it out, because, you know, sometimes it can be hard to answer when you know the deep down inside you've been fighting some of that yourself, if that makes sense. Not necessarily in regard to this article, but, you know, being able to just talk about, you know, mental health topics in general, I enjoy it.
Good. I think that it's good. And I think the show is just gets better all the time.
Damn right. So, for the most electrifying professor in podcasting today, we thank you for listening. Each Monday, we'll have something in this podcast space to entertain your ear holes. Until we meet again, we bid you adieu.
So long.
Now, about that Ferrari I wanted to buy.
Subscribe to Friends Talking Nerdy on iTunes, the Google Play Music Store, as well as Spotify. Remember to support Friends Talking Nerdy on Patreon. Goodbye, darling.